Hello and welcome aboard this week's edition of your maritime programme, Seascapes. This week, we've the winners of those Port of Cork First Day cover stamps, courtesy of An Post. Music from a new CD celebrating Gaelin, Bádín Éillimí, and you can win a copy here on Seascapes. Maritime enthusiast and sailor Declan Bannon on the tradition of half-hull models. First, this week to the shores of Lough Derg, where in Dromineer the Mirror Dinghy World Championships are being hosted by Lough Derg Yacht Club. On Sunday last, the championships were launched by the Minister for the Marine, Simon Coveney, TD. Formerly a mirror dinghy sailor and instructor, he talked to Seascapes.
I'd say I was sailing mirrors from about the age of 7 or 8. And then as I got older, I was teaching sailing through mirrors. The idea of mirror dinghies when they were first designed back in the 60s was to make sailing affordable for everybody. Initially in England, and then the boats just spread across the world amazingly quickly. I mean, there's been 70,000 mirrors built since then. And it's because they're easy to build, they're reasonably affordable to buy, and when you have lots of them together, they make for great racing. And they're a great way of teaching people how to sail in a team, using three sails. And it's fantastic to see the mirror worlds coming back to Ireland, particularly given the success we've had over the last 10 or 12 years. And actually, I was smiling when I was asked if I'd come here, because the first Irish person to win the Mirror Worlds down in South Africa was a guy called Marty Maloney, who actually I taught when I was an instructor, and he was a really plucky little kid at the time who was afraid to do his swimming test. But he turned out to be a fantastic sailor when he was a teenager. So it's great, in lots of clubs in Ireland you don't see as many red sails anymore, which is a shame, because I think they're still better boats than an awful lot of the boats that have replaced them, but there's still quite a few Irish boats here. There'll be 91 boats racing this week from 7 different countries, from as far away as South Africa, Australia, the Philippines, Sweden, Canada, and of course Britain and Ireland. The ages in terms of people sailing them has changed since my time as well. I mean, if there was somebody over the age of 50 sailing them, they would have stood out. In fact, they did. There was a boat called Slack Alice, I can always remember. I can't remember the name of the guy who sailed it, but he used to sail with his daughter. Whereas here, there's 10 or 15 people in their 50s and 60s. They've obviously come to Ireland both for the sailing and the racing and the holiday as well. And they're probably staying here in hotels, or they've taken river boats or something like that. So this is a really good stimulus effect for the economy as well. But the sailing club here in Lough Derg has done a fantastic job. It's full of volunteers, all working around the clock to make sure that everybody feels welcome and feels secure and safe. And obviously, of course, to make sure that the racing is good here as well. This is the first time ever, by the way, that the Mirror Worlds has been held on a lake rather than at sea. And that makes it, quite a historic event. But it's also the first time here in this club, which has become a real centre of sailing now in the Midlands. Well, I've, long maintained that water sports in Ireland are totally undervalued. I mean, we have such a fantastic natural resource around our coastline. I've always wanted to be Minister for Marine to try and change that attitude, and I think we're doing that now. In inland waterways as well, in lakes like this one, I mean, it's just such a fantastic resource. The water is cleaner now than it's ever been on the lake. There used to be some problems in relation to pollution in the past. That's all history now. And we're seeing clubs like this one developing and growing. They've held the Mirror European Championships here. They're now holding the Mirror Worlds. They've held a whole series of other quite significant and very competitive events here. And I think, we'll see an awful lot more of that in the future, which is great. I mean, I think during the so-called boom years in Ireland, a lot of people started sailing who otherwise wouldn't have been exposed to it. And one of the big problems I've had with sailing in Ireland for many years is that it's seen as exclusive. What we're trying to do now is we're trying to open up sailing to everybody, which is why mirrors are actually fantastic, because they are affordable to buy, unlike a lot of other boats. But what did happen when there was a lot of disposable income in Ireland was that a lot of people tried their hand at things they wouldn't normally have done. So you got a lot of extra people doing sailing courses in places like Dublin and Cork and Galway and Dunmore East and places like Lough Derg. And that has brought through a whole crop of new, confident potential superstars like Annalise Murphy being a prime example of that. And as a result, those people expect to win. You know, they're highly competitive and they expect to win no matter what level they compete at. And that's been a really good thing for the sport.
Hasn't the whole area of access been so important as well? You see John Toomey, president of the International Federation of Disabled Sailors, they've got the World Championships coming to his home club of Kinsale at the end of August. Another extraordinary achievement, really, when you see that all those sailors are going to come to a transformed clubhouse now where there is access, and there isn't often that kind of access for disabled sailing.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, definitely the infrastructure is changing and improving, not quickly enough as far as I'm concerned. We had some failed experiments, really, in terms of public funding for marinas around the coastline in Ireland. Some of them were successful, some of them weren't. It wasn't planned in the way that it should have been. We are now trying to develop we have an integrated maritime plan for Ireland now for the first time ever. We launched it last year. There's a lot happening in the Department of Marine at the moment from a fishing point of view, from a marine tourism point of view. And I think you will see, hopefully over the next 5 to 10 years, you'll see Ireland's marine infrastructure being transformed to actually open up the sport to more and more people. Whether you're disabled or not, doesn't matter. You should be able to get on the water and enjoy the fantastic coastline and inland waterways that we have. And you know, people like John Toomey have been spearheading that effort for decades now. I think it'll be a great source of pride for him to bring such competitive sailing to Kinsale. I'm looking forward to actually being there for that.
The Minister for the Marine, Simon Coveney, TD. Also attending the launch was a former Commodore of Lough Derg Yacht Club and current President of the Irish Sailing Association, Niamh McCutcheon.
We pride ourselves in being able to run events. This is the first world event that we've had in this club. And I think proof of the pudding is that we had 70 entries last week. We've got 91 entries now. And I think we're going to have great sailing this week under the PRO's, Con Murphy's guidance. I think there's a great atmosphere. We've got people here from 7 different nationalities, and they've been here for a week doing the nationals, and they're all ready for the Worlds. We're just hoping for a little bit better weather, and I know we'll have wind. Not only can we launch an awful lot of boats, but when we had the Mirror Europeans here in 2004, when I was Commodore, we created another slip, and we were able to launch all the boats in jig time. And this time, in fact, we haven't moved our historic Shannon 1 designs because we take some of the foreign sailors out sailing on a Wednesday and show them what other classes of boats we sail here apart from mirrors. And they're sailed generation after generation, and that's a great thing about a Shannon 1 design, that in some instances there are 3 generations of one family sailing them. So it's great to get the young to come back and to integrate with their parents and their grandparents. And it's a 3-man boat, and almost as soon as a member has a child, they're earmarked to be a crew.
We hear next from Reggie Goodbody on the history of the club and the importance of this event.
It's a first for this yacht club, and we're a fairly old yacht club, about 1835 our records go back to. There's been sailing on and off ever since. We've got a first program as 1837, so it's all in this one bay. The yacht club was actually just about a quarter of a mile away from where we're standing, and now the main building has been here since the 1920s, so it's had a long time, and we've had a lot of very well-known sailors sailing here. Otway Waller sailed off to the Azores with invented the self-steering. We had Bob Tisdall here, who sailed here as well, and we've had many other people who've been to the Olympics and tried and came down here, and the fun was to see whether we could beat some of them. They've come from Australia, Canada, Sweden, obviously the UK, and obviously our own people are trying as well, so and the Philippines as well. So it's a widespread, and it's an interesting spread. I actually, as a very young man, met Barry Bucknell, who was the co-designer or developer of the Mirror dinghy, because I was involved in a do-it-yourself shop at the age of 19 in Nottingham, I think it was, and he came to do the official TV opening, and I happened to be there, so I met him. So The beauty about the Mira dinghy was that it could be home built initially, and then it was built by some specialist builders in the UK as a kit boat, and my son built his own Mira dinghy. And a lot of people built them, so they were low cost and they could be put together, and they, you know, they were very successful for children to learn to sail in. There were a three sail boat, a jib and a mainsail and a spinnaker. Now they've obviously gone to fiberglass and they have aluminium masts, and they're not quite the traditional boat they were, but they're also hopefully active. I think they're a very good boat for youngsters to start out, and after that they go to more high performance boats. In these times it's hard to put together a regatta like this. It's a huge amount of voluntary effort by very hard working people, and it started a year and a half or 2 years ago, so it's actually a major thing to do. But the philosophy of this club is that we all get in and pull together and put on as good a show as we possibly can, and we have ideal sailing waters for dinghies. Prevailing winds will come in from the southwest. We can start 100, 150 boats on a line, and we can launch dinghies, anything up to 100, 120 in 10 minutes if we want to. And that's quite something. And it's non-tidal.
We'll leave the last word to one of the competitors as they gathered for the parade of sail. Seascape spoke to a young Alex Kingsley and his father Mark, who had travelled with his mum and sister from the island of Tasmania off Australia's southern coast.
I started in a pacer in an Australia Day parade. Well, I'm not even sure. I just enjoy it. I'm honoured to have the chance for this, and yeah. Well, it's great. We had to save up a lot of money and get a lot of sponsors and all that, and I think my sponsors, all our sponsors that like gave us money, and it was a long plane trip, but I'm happy to be here now. Yep, first time in another country. My father may be a bit Irish.
Found Ireland to be a wonderful place, and really enjoyed the hospitality of all the wonderful people here. Well, I think we're clutching at straws, but we think there was a Cassidy a number of generations ago.
Personally, I like the red sails. It makes it unique. And I guess it was basically the first competitive boat I've ever been in, so yeah.
South Africa. And the next country is Canada. And the next country is Sweden. And the next country is Great Britain. And finally, of the country flag, Ireland.
The World Dinghy Championships conclude this weekend in Dromoneer, and you can read more on the Irish Sailing Association website, which is www.sailing.ie. Next here on Seascapes to maritime enthusiast Declan Bannon. We met Declan a number of weeks ago on the programme talking about the art of scrimshaw. Well, this week we hear about his passion for half-hull models and how his interest in sailing began.
I grew up in Hoth. I sailed from an early age. I think I started sailing at about the age of 12. I was always interested in sailing, even from the age of the smallest child. And I sailed out of Sutton Dinghy Club. I sailed an IDRA 14, which was an Irish designed boat. The IDRA stands for an Irish Dinghy Racing Association. Sailed it for about 12 years. Every year, one of the features of the racing calendar was the regattas in the clubs around the bay, Clontarf, the National Yacht Club. And I always remember that the first time I went to the National Yacht Club, they had a couple of half models on the wall. I was fascinated because these half models, they're very tactile. And if you ever see people who see them for the first time, their first instinct is to touch them. And it was only in my 40s when I was in the US and I visited places like Mystic Seaport and the Wooden Boat Museum, plus Newport, I saw you could buy them. So I bought my first few over in the US. But then I realized the Americans have books on how to make these things, and I developed my own technique for making half models. Now, at the moment, my collection stands at about 17 hulls, but obviously I'm in a position where now that I can make them, I can expand that considerably. space, wall space permitting, because what's there now takes about three walls as it is. So my favourite ones are the kind of classic yachts from the 1890s to the 1930s, particularly those yachts which participated in the America's Cup. The Shamrock series, I have one Shamrock which I've made myself. It was Sir Thomas Lipton's last America's Cup Challenger, and that was in 1930. I also have a couple of the America's Cup Challenger and Defender from 1934. And at that stage, TOM Sopwith was the British Challenger, and the Defender was a boat called Ranger. That was the end of the J. Those yachts were called the J class. They were defended in 1934. The Americans defended, and they defended in 1938, as far as I remember. And that was the end of the era of the classic yacht. But if you looked at the lines, they lent themselves best to, if you like, the art of half hull modelling. It's just the lines and the shape, and they were designed for very specific conditions. They were designed to be sailed in the light airs off Newport, Rhode Island, in August and September. So in a way, their seaworthiness wasn't great. They just had huge masses of sail for sailing in the light airs at that time of the year. Now, the good news is that quite a few of these yachts have now been restored, and there's a movement afloat now to rebuild some of the original J-class yachts. Shamrock is back, and it cruises down in the Caribbean. A lady called Elizabeth Meyer, who pioneered the restoration of Shamrock and encouraged people to invest in J-class. So as far as I know, there are about six J-class now in existence, J-class yachts in existence. I know they rebuilt Velsheda, which was an America's Cup. They wanted to challenge for the UK, but another yacht beat them, so they were the UK challenger. Velsheda was a funny one. It was owned by the head of Woolworths in the UK, and the Vel is Velma, the first three letters of one of his daughters, and Sheeta was the first four letters of another daughter, and it's a composite. A funny name, but that's where the name came from.
Now, you mentioned Lipton there. Lipton, one of the great tea merchants, and I suppose a man who really made his name, and his family did, with clippers, with the tea clippers, the kind of Formula One vessels of the sea, weren't they?
Yes, they were. Sir Thomas Lipton started out he was the son of a Belfast couple who had emigrated to Glasgow, and he was brought up in very poor circumstances. He went to work, I think, at about the age of 9 or 10. He went to sea, he worked in cowboy ranches. Ultimately, he ended up owned the tea plantations in the Far East. He owned a chain of shops. Anyone who grew up to the 60s would remember the Lipton's shops in Dublin in particular. All that's left now is the brand name Lipton Ice, and I think Procter & Gamble own that. They sell it as a cold tea and a lemon tea, etc., etc. He referred to the America's Cup as the old mug, and he had a kind of an obsession, because he challenged for it five times, and I think he may have been the most frequent challenger. I'm not too sure. I think Dennis Connor may have defended and challenged more than Sir Thomas Lipton. He never married, so his whole empire when he died was just broken up. One of the nicest vessels to visit is the Morgan. The Morgan is in Mystic Harbour. It's just been restored, and you can actually go on to the rigging and do all the sea shanties. They tie you up, they have someone beside you. You can go out on the gigs, the whaling gigs, and they'll row you around the harbour. It's kind of an interactive experience and well worth a visit. But Mystic is not just the Morgan. They also have a collection of vessels. So I think they have the L.E. Dunton. They've half a dozen vessels, plus a number of steam vessels. You can actually take a paddle steamer around the harbour. Well worth a visit. What they've done in Mystic is they've taken buildings from all over New England and just reassembled them in Mystic Seaport, in the museum. So, for instance, they have a rope factory, and I don't know if anyone has ever seen a rope factory, but a rope factory is basically, it's could be a mile long or 2 miles long. So they transferred it. So there's a whole village from the 1870s to the 1900s in there in Mystic Sea. Where there's an apothecary's there, there's a ship's chandler's. All the buildings are there, and they're not replicated. They're actually genuine buildings that have been moved. It's part of this American can-do attitude. The other thing that you'll see in Mystic is the largest lathe, that I've ever seen. It's in the DuPont shipyard, which obviously has been, it's sponsored by the DuPont family of DuPont Chemicals. But it can take up to 90-foot pieces of timber and turn them. Magnificent piece of engineering. Nowadays, we see the half model, and we think it's a beautiful work of art and very tactile, but it was an extremely practical piece of engineering kit or tool, if you like, and worked very well. Basically, the shipwright carved a full solid model of the client's potential ship or vessel. He'd show it to the client, he'd make all the adjustments to the shape that the client wanted, and then he'd slice it lengthwise, and one half of the yacht, yacht or vessel or whatever, he'd slice horizontally, and the other half he'd slice vertically. And they had a process called lofting the lines, where they scaled those model sections upwards onto the what they call the lofting floor and built the framing for the boat.
Declan Bannon on his passion for half models and matters maritime. The ISA has announced that the ISA Safe Trax, that's TRX, what they describe as a revolutionary free smartphone app designed to save lives by allowing boat owners to log their voyages, which can then be monitored by their chosen contacts and the Irish Coast Guard. ISA Safe Trax is available for both Android and Apple iOS devices, iPhones and iPads. ISA Safe Trax logs position reports every kilometre, or every 5 minutes if you're stationary. Should the user fail to return on time, their emergency contacts will be alerted via SMS and advised to initiate the appropriate action. Our question in our Seascapes competition last week was to name the designer of the Port of Cork series of stamps recently issued by An Post, and the answer was Steve Simpson. Many thanks for all your entries. The winners are Pauline Fennell of Kilrush, Joshua DC in South Ruislip in London, Don Brennock in Rathdrum in County Wicklow, Michael Doolan in Dunamead in Dublin, and Tony Finn in Temple Oak.
Oh.
the sound of Emmett Spiceland and Bojean Eilemy. Emmett Spiceland were brothers Mick and Brian Byrne and Donal Lunny, and that's the title track of a new collection of singles on a 20-track CD issued by Gay Lynn to coincide with their 60th anniversary. There are detailed and highly entertaining sleeve notes by author, composer and balladeer Shay Healy, and you can win a copy of this recording by answering the following question. What anniversary are Gay Lynn celebrating this year? Answers on a postcard to Seascapes, RTE Radio 1, Father Matthew Street, Cork, or by email to seascapes@rte.ie. Next Friday night here on Seascapes, we'll have the latest from inshore Ireland with Gerry Flynn, Commodore John Leach of Irish Water Safety, on recommended behaviour whilst near the water. Former cowboy and tall ships veteran Jim Carr on the importance of sail training. Larry Butler has a tale of a voyage from the Isle of Man in the 80s and a close encounter. All that and much more here on Seascapes. Until next Friday night, tight lines and fair sailing.